BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This is a download of Farming Today from the BBC. The presenter today, Charlotte Smith.
Good morning. Today, the majority of the River Wye breaches new pollution standards.
We've been making great strides in trying to reduce the inputs of all chemicals, including phosphates, but we've had further development in those catchments, and it's not gone down as quickly as we would like it to do.
More on that later. First, though, Red Tractor has a new driver. The Farm Assurance Scheme, which covers 46,000 British farmers, says Christine Taken will take over in January. Red Tractor was founded 20 years ago. Farms which adhere to its rules on things like animal welfare, traceability and environmental protection can carry the Red Tractor logo on their produce.
Behind our Red Tractor is peace of mind when putting food upon your table. UK farmed, meticulously checked. Just look for the Red Tractor label.
Well, that's the advert, but critics say the standards it requires are pretty basic and those checks aren't meticulous enough. The last chair, the Conservative peer Baroness Neville Rolfe, resigned after voting against measures designed to legally protect food standards in trade deals. Christine Taken is the former Groceries Code adjudicator and before that ran the Co-op's farms. She also chairs the BBC's Rural Affairs Committee. She told me she's delighted to be taking over.
It's a perfect time to be doing this role because with Brexit and Elms and everything else that's coming up, you know, on the farming agenda, national agenda, there's so much that we can do with a brand that represents what's the best of British farming.
Do you think it does still represent the best of British farming? There have been questions about some of the farms that carry the Red Tractor Assurance Scheme and questions about just how demanding some of its rules are.
I think this is all for me yet to discover. I have a reputation wherever I have been for working out what needs to be done and getting things done. And if there's change that's required, I will certainly be there trying to make sure that it happens.
Even if it's uncomfortable?
Well, all change is uncomfortable, but it's about making sure that we have a brand that is fit for purpose and that, you know, my vision is that in 5 years' time, it's a brand that consumers are very aware of, that's used for exports and that is something that is very much fit for purpose in terms of farmers recognising that it ties up with what Elms is looking for.
There have, though, been exposés, notably by animal rights campaigners, where things are not being done properly on farms, which are still Red Tractor farms. That must be a cause for concern.
These are all the sorts of reasons that I'm excited to be doing this role. It's things that I need to learn and to make sure that the audits that we're doing are upholding the standards that we say the brand represents. It's the same as any brand. You know, my background is consumer marketing. You have to make sure that the brand lives up to what it says it is.
What's the first thing on your to-do list?
So the first thing is to understand a lot more about it. You know, I've been out of the farming industry for 7 years now. I think I've got quite a lot to catch up. Listening, learning, understanding what the requirements are from the ownership bodies and all of the stakeholders. I am pleased to know that it's got very high recognition that, you know, 7 out of 10 people say they're positively influenced by the logo. So there's lots of gems in it. But it's about listening. Is there anything that needs to be fixed and what are the opportunities for it?
Most of the retailers do use Red Tractor. Sainsbury's doesn't. It said it didn't really see the point. Will you hope to change their minds?
I certainly want to understand what was behind their decision. And clearly, I would love to change their minds, but I want to listen to them first.
Christine Taken, the incoming chair of Red Tractor. For many of us, Christmas is going to be decidedly odd, with trips to see family, carol services and visits to the pub cancelled or curtailed. Well, one Essex arable farmer is doing his bit to maintain the Christmas spirit this weekend by welcoming 400 carloads of people onto the farm for a drive-in carol service. All this week, we've been looking at how farm businesses are preparing for Christmas in the time of COVID. Robert Blythe farms near Colchester. He's been making creative use of his land to adapt to coronavirus restrictions and still provide for his local community, as he explained to Beatrice Fenton.
So I'm now standing out in a grass field that we have on the farm. It's a 42-acre field that we, for the last 34 years, have been running Sunday markets on. my local vicar approached me and asked about the possibility of doing a driving carol service at our site, something where we can offer out a large site to get people in a safe way. Doing some of the normal things they would do at Christmas is definitely a huge necessity with the downsides of COVID.
How does it work? So people come in and park in lines, do they? What will happen?
Because we've got this big open field, we would have people coming in and they'll be parked socially distanced parking spaces. So there's room next to each person's car if they do wish to get out and stand next to their car. And we've got a big screen that will be sort of broadcasting the images live from the stage in front, and the singing will be broadcast over the radio so people can pick it up in their cars. So they've got a special equipment that allows you to tune in to the event that's going on site. At the moment, I'm just watching our telehandler with a man cage putting up festoon lighting around the area. We've got all the trees around the edge of the field going to be lit up, so it should look very festive.
My name's Anthony Wilson. I'm the vicar in Dedham and Ardley, which are two rural parishes in North Essex. There are many people who are very isolated, and I think to give people the opportunity to gather in this way will be really important. All of our churches locally would normally expect to be full at Christmas, and it's a very important part of people's celebrations. So to actually give people something to look forward to, I think, is going to be really important. We're going to have some traditional readings of the Nativity story. We're going to have some carols that we're going to sing together. One of the great things, obviously, about having a driving carols is that you can sing. We're going to have some good news stories from some local charities. And we're going to have a short Christmas thought from our local bishop, Bishop Roger. The choir is going to be from a local church, a gospel choir.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to
imagine it's going to feel quite different for you speaking to a congregation in their cars. How are you feeling about that?
I think I'm really excited, actually. I'm going to be doing it with a colleague so that we're going to be sharing the leading. It'll be difficult to get any kind of sense of feedback from people. I think it's given people something to look forward to, which is really important. I think hope is something that keeps us all going. I think it's been commonly understood just how important singing is for everybody. So the fact that we can not just listen, but actually to join in with the singing, I think is going to make such a difference to people. And I hope really will genuinely bring them some comfort at the end of what has been a very difficult year, and also some joy as they look forward to the future.
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again.
The Kingsland Gospel Choir singing there. If you'd like to hear more, that service will be live streamed on the Dedham and Ardley Parish website on Sunday. Over 60% of the River Wye is now in breach of new phosphate pollution standards. Well, that's according to a new report from Natural Resources Wales, which has said that any new development in the river's catchment area will have to be either phosphate neutral or better. Phosphate is released into waterways naturally at low levels from erosion, but can also come from sewage or runoff from agriculture. It creates a nutrient-rich water where algae thrives. Well, algal blooms turn sections of the Wye green this summer. Back in August, we heard from Christine Hugh-Jones from the Campaign to Protect Rural Wales, who said the rise in poultry farms in Powys could be to blame.
The problem with having them all in one place is that you have a concentration of ammonia emissions and a concentration of pollution from manure to watercourses. All the poultry farming in Wales virtually is concentrated in Powys, which is a very, very vulnerable place.
Well, Powys poultry farmer Gwyn Price, who sits on the NFU Cymru Livestock Board, told us there isn't a problem.
Our rivers are tested regularly, and although the poultry has increased, actually the phosphate levels over the last years are going down in the river Isen and Wye.
Gwyn Price speaking back in August. Well, Bob Vaughan, Sustainable Land Manager at Natural Resources Wales, told me it's more complicated.
Most rural catchments, they've all been affected by human activity over many, many centuries. And so we have pollution of one sort or another all over the place in these catchments. But we are doing a lot of work behind the scenes trying to improve it and take it back to a more environmental base.
In the past, Natural Resources Wales has said that phosphate levels have been declining in the Wye, but now you say 60% is in breach of new standards. What is the situation for this river?
You are quite correct. We've been making great strides in trying to reduce the inputs of all chemicals, including phosphates, across these catchments, and we have seen them decline over recent years. But the problem has been is that we've had further development in those catchments and it's not gone down as quickly as we would like it to do.
So when you talk about development, do you mean housing development as a problem?
All development. The way that we live our lives has an impact, and more so today, you know, because we've got road traffic, we've got air pollution, we have the impacts of the way that we live in our homes and the materials we use within our homes, the way that we run our agricultural businesses, the whole lot has an impact on that. And to top that up, and we'll all be aware of this, climate change is starting to affect the weather patterns and the temperatures, and that too is having an impact.
But with the particular problems in the Wye, is it down to the chicken farms?
No doubt, you know, as people have alluded to, we've seen a lot of development as farms have tried to diversify within the catchment, and that will have had an impact. But we don't think that's the only thing that's happening, and I think that's the key thing. There's no evidence from the information that we've gathered that shows that that's the main cause of this stalling of the decline of phosphates within the catchments. If we look at particular areas where we've known there've been quite a number of farms, such as on the Eithon catchment, the levels there are within the targets that we've set, which sort of goes counter to that type of argument. Now, we're not saying that poultry units or any other development within the catchment is not having an effect. All of it has an effect, but that isn't the main cause of the issue. So we are looking at all of the aspects, whether that's septic tanks from private households, sewage discharges, new developments, industry, agriculture, they all have an impact. And we've got to look at all of those factors. And in fact, when it comes to it, it isn't one person that solves this, it's all of us.
You've particularly highlighted new developments, but that will only prevent an increase. And if the problem is already bad, how are you going to decrease the current pollution rates?
That's a really good question. We have to go in and what they call retrofit a lot of these sites. With existing sites, whether that's households, whether that's industry, whether it's agriculture, we have the technology to go in and look at those sites and develop things on the location to reduce the impact coming off that site. So if you have a housing estate in an area, then the quality of the water running off from those estates should be just like it would be if it had not been developed at all. Now, that's quite possible. We have the technology and the understanding to be able to do that. Obviously, it will cost money, but we can do all of that. And that's what we will be trying to achieve over what will be some time.
And presumably, farmers, chicken farmers and others along the Wye and its tributaries are going to have to stump up here, both in terms of action and paying for it.
Well, this is part of UK Limited, really, in a way, isn't it? You know, that we've all benefited from produce that farms produce, and we've all got to pay part of that price. And whether that's through government supporting new work going on these sites to help develop a better runoff situation at poultry units, or whether it's the market that does that as well, there are a number of ways of achieving it. So I don't think it's a case to frighten farmers to say, you know, you've got to stump up and sort this out.
What about the polluter pays principle?
You have to remember most of these sites, the planning permission and the development of them were done when we set much higher targets. They've done that development in good faith. We have to give them the support now to take it to a new level.
Bob Vaughan from Natural Resources Wales. That's it from us. I'm Charlotte Smith. The studio manager is Tim Allen, and the producer in Bristol is Heather Simons.